About 85% of the 7,000 senior executive service members are eligible to retire in the next few years. But the Obama administration is worried not so many up-and-coming federal employees want to take their place. Only about half of current GS-14s and 15s say they're even interested in becoming a member of the SES. Still, some agencies are doing a few things to grow their SES corps. More now from Federal News Radio's Nicola Grisco.
Half of current members of the senior executive service will be retirement eligible within the next president's first term in office. Half of SES at the Education and Justice Departments and the Social Security Administration could retire right now. But more than half of government's would-be up-and-coming leaders say they're not interested in joining SES. This comes about 6 months before an upcoming presidential transition and several months after President Obama signed an executive order with new requirements to attract, recruit, and retain the best and brightest to the SES. The Partnership for Public Service and McKinsey & Company looked at the current SES Corps, and it could use a confidence boost. Stacey Deitch is an associate partner with McKinsey.
And we define health as the government's ability to attract, develop, and retain a cadre of capable and engaged senior executives. The review of available data shows that while there are some pockets of excellence, the SES is not as strong as it could be.
With that in mind, the administration is looking for examples of agencies who have tried new things to recruit and retain SES members, and it's trying to share them throughout government. Beth Cobert is the acting director of the Office of Personnel Management.
From my experience at OMB and at OPM, I've learned that the best way to make rapid improvement in the federal government is to find somebody that's doing something well, share that experience, and let somebody else borrow it. Copy it, steal it, but leverage it. It's a great way to make change happen fast.
One of those examples comes from the Health and Human Services Department. It developed a behavior-based interviewing pilot to help it better recruit and retain new SES members. John Gill is the HHS Chief Human Capital Officer.
And the idea was to, first off, make it easier for the candidate to come in, resume-based, go deeply into his or her background through the behavior-based interviewing process. And it wasn't solely for identifying the threshold level of acceptability relative to executive core qualifications. It really had to do about building an onboarding IDP. So the selection interviewing process got you to a point where the behavior-based interviewing process got you to a point of being able to go deeper inside of the ECQs. And when the candidate, whilst they may be very acceptable from a ECQ standpoint, when they came in, we had a really good idea of the one or two things that they needed to tap on in order to get them accelerated through their learning curve and get them to be full capacity earlier in their career.
Gill says this kind of interview style helps the agencies get a better idea of the skills a candidate has and how he or she could improve in the future. All of that information goes into the person's individual development plan, and it helps the agency guide the senior executive throughout his career. But low morale among the current group of senior executives is still one of the biggest detractors for anyone who's considering SES as an option. Reginald Wells is the Chief Human Capital Officer at the Social Security Administration.
I think there are a lot of people out there, even locally, who would step up if they felt they were going to be supported in stepping up. And so I think one of my, I guess, parting comments would be that courage is a big part of this.
Current senior executives say they don't feel appreciated or recognized for their work. A lot of them praise the chance they had to meet with other senior executives and hear from President Obama back in 2014. But those kinds of opportunities don't come often. The Veterans Affairs Department is at the bottom of the list for senior executives who say they're satisfied and committed. Compare the VA's score of 64.5% to NASA's high of 96. Wells says he's learned a lot of SESers just want to hear a thank you. He and his agency are visiting federal executive boards across the country to hear from senior executives.
It's really pretty amazing the feedback you get from that. We had one senior executive in Los Angeles indicate that had he known that people cared so much about his contributions, he might not have retired at his optional retirement date. Of course, he had already retired, so it was a little bit too late for him to come back. But although he still could come back, I guess. But that is, you know, people really do very often are satisfied with just a thank you, mm-hmm. with just a recognition that they've done a great job, or they, at least they've tried to.
Senior executives also say most agencies are still struggling to implement a consistent performance management system. Performance ratings at agencies have run the gamut. More than 92% of SESers at the State Department earned the highest performance rating in fiscal 2014. At VA, however, about 19% of its employees earned the highest score. Government-wide, roughly 48% of all senior executives earned an outstanding rating. But if too many SESers get that kind of rating, agencies have a hard time telling the difference between executives who are truly high performers and those who aren't. Senior executives also told the Partnership for Public Service, opportunities for leadership development often outweigh more pay when they consider job satisfaction. The president's executive order, for example, requires agencies put more SESers on developmental rotations, either at another office in the same agency or another department altogether. The Army has been doing this for the past 10 years. They require all SES to rotate every 5 to 7 years. Susie Torres is the chief of the operations division at the Army's Civilian Senior Leader Management Office.
So over time, we developed a talent management board or a process where we wanted to know what is an SES, where do they want to go, what do they want to become, how can we help them get there. So we built our boards and our panels to have functional representation, organizational representation. So now our panels have anywhere from 7 or 8 people per panel. We also started to communicate a lot more because at first, you know, executives are going to be, why are we doing this? What's the benefit for me? And so we started talking about these are the benefits, these are the outcomes. Both to you and to the Army.
SESers largely say this kind of opportunity is helpful to them, but 53% of senior executives say they've never tried a rotation, and they haven't changed positions at all since they joined the SES. For the Office of Management and Budget, it wants to see agencies take some of these lessons and make them a part of their everyday missions. Lisa Danzing is the Associate Director for Performance and Personnel Management at OMB.
There's a negative culture around rotations. People are scared to leave their work. But how do you link it to the business objectives? How do you make this really driven by the urgent needs of the organization? So this isn't about doing rotations. This is about actually solving problems, and you need the best talent to do that.
In Washington, Nicole Lagrisco, federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM.
Share this interview with colleagues. Go to federalnewsradio.com/federaldrive and click share with friends.